No worries.
Yeah.
So I still don't. There he is. Cool.
Yeah, you appear to be freezing periodically, but
I'm gonna have to drop out.
You can come to our office if you want, and we can put you in John's office.
I suggested that to him earlier, so he knows that's a backup.
Should I call him back and see what he wants to do? I hung up and turned my phone off.
There is another alternative also. I live about three blocks from him, and he can come to my front porch where there is pretty good Wi-Fi if he wants to do that.
Well, he's already done. He's already at the vet's hall.
Okay. So it's not probably a Wi-Fi issue, you think?
I'm going to call right now.
Are you calling him? Okay.
This is like who's on first. The comedy show.
Well, for everybody out there in the viewing audience, please be patient.
Well, President Farmer, an option would be that as we have a quorum, we could go ahead and get started on the agenda. For instance, the PROS report could be.
Well, you know, David did suggest just go ahead and start without him. And of course, we've done that in the past where some board members have arrived late. So we should probably just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, Harry, I just talked to him. He said, go ahead and start also. And he's rebooting his system. And if it doesn't work, he'll head over to admin in a few minutes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John.
Okay. I'll let staff know because I need to go unlock the office. I'll just mute and be right back.
Okay.
All right. Well, since... We'll just wait for Pam to return.
He's rebooted.
He'll be back in a moment.
Here he comes.
All right, I rebooted everything.
There we go.
Well,
looks better.
That seemed to work.
That seems to work.
Yes. Let Pam know that.
Okay, so just to keep things clear, John's wearing Birkenstocks. I'm wearing socks, so essentially barefoot, and David is rebooted. So that's the footwear for today.
Time to launch.
The choice is a footwear. All right. Okay, so it's 2 minutes after, 8 minutes after 2 o'clock. And Haley, we're calling this meeting to order. And if we could please have, so today we're doing something different. Usually we do the Pledge of Allegiance and we put the flag on the screen. You know, at one point we did Woody Guthrie song, This Land Is Your Land, and we put the lyrics on the screen. Today I thought, considering the state of affairs on the planet, especially in our country, and the certain amount of anxiety and stress that certain people are living with, and having to remember the beauty of nature that has existed here for as long as we know, that I thought today we would read the lyrics from America the Beautiful, just to kind of remind us, put us a little more in touch with the beauty of nature and how important she is in our lives. And you may say, well, the lyrical content may not apply to just California or Cambria, but I thought it would be a healthy reminder of what is one of the things that's of important meaning in our lives. So, Haley, if you could put the lyrics up for America the Beautiful and we can recite them.
Okay.
Thank you. And anybody that wants to join in out there can do that. So here we go. Okay. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountain majesties. Above the fruited plain, America.
America.
America. God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And we certainly need to remember about brotherhood and the more egalitarian way that we should be living in our society. And by the way, if you want to see this song really done, just go to YouTube and Ray Charles and pick any version that you want. He knows how to do it. All right, let's go on to, do we have a quorum? Mr. Carmel, do we have a report from closed session?
We do, Mr. President. We discussed Windler versus CCSD and Madrid versus CCSD. There's no reportable action, however.
Thank you very much. Haley, am I supposed to be asking you to do this, or should I be doing this? I've kind of lost track here momentarily.
No, you can go ahead and do this. I usually do the agenda review meetings. So
okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. So any additions or deletions to the agenda?
No.
My good friends? All right. Let's move on to item number two in commission.
Mr. President Farmer.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I couldn't get my hand raised fast enough. I do have a request for changing from the agenda.
Okay.
I would like to postpone item 6C.
All right.
Do you want pulled consent agenda right now too, or do you want to do that during right before consent agenda?
Why don't we hear from? You mean act on this particular item? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm asking if you want to know, because there's something on consent that I would like to pull also.
Right. I know you mentioned that. Well, why don't we wait until we hear from Mr. Niffen and the PROS Commission
okay.
report? Okay. Thank you.
Question. Can we start? Sorry. Point of information. Is it the case then that 6C is postponed, or all I heard was Amanda proposing it, but I didn't hear any agreement on that?
Was it 6C or 6D?
6C. Oh, excuse me.
C.
6C.
Okay. I guess... I would to understand why you're interested, Director Rice, in pulling that.
I believe this is going to be quite a long meeting, and I have quite a number of items for about this, and I would really like to have a full discussion because it could have an impact on a lot of things for the district regarding water management.
Well, why don't we wait until we get to that item? See how the time is flowing at that point? Is everybody okay with that?
That's fine.
Thank you. All right, now moving forward to 214, we're on to item two. And our report from Mr. Niffen. And Steve, as always, in good humor. First, let me ask you, Mr. Niffen, how are you feeling about the fact that there's no baseball season?
Oh, yeah, but that seems pretty low on the whole scale of everything else that's going on. But yeah, I'm disappointed, sure.
All right. Well, don't disappoint us with the PROS Commission report.
Yeah, right. So I'm a little nervous about a Zoom meeting because this room that I'm in right now is where I write most of my comedy material. And so I'm feeling a little bit over, you know, zealous about what's going on. When I'm in the room with the microphone and the public there, I feel a little inhibited, so I'm not as wild. I'm a little like, first I'm thinking I'm going to rip my shirt off and give a presentation without a shirt on just to show everybody. But yeah, but I really, you guys have a long meeting, so I'll try to make it short. We don't have a lot going on, just do to what everything that's been happening. We're just trying to lay low. We've still got the skate park issue and the bathrooms on the East Ranch. And so we didn't have a very long meeting. As you know, the Zoom meetings go pretty quickly. So the one thing that we did talk about was that the Piney Way back road there at the east part of the ranch now has a gate across it, and what are all the ramifications of that, which we have always been aware of it because it's kind of one of those unspoken trails that people use over time but maybe really aren't supposed to be using. And so now there's one of the property owners has put a gate up, which they obviously think they can do. And so there's a sewer easement there and everybody's looking at it. But that's one of the things that because the gate has gone there, there's a little bit of an issue with fire and the escape access that we have presumed was there that might not be there. So anyway, that's kind of off in other people's hands, but that is something that's kind of pressing regardless of the coronavirus situation that we're in regards to funds. So other than those few issues, there's not much else going on other than I wanted to make everybody aware of the spaghetti feed. I thank the board. I thank John for letting us use the parking lot and the back kitchen. We're going to do a spaghetti feed next Wednesday night for everybody in town. It's a fundraiser, but it's also free. So we just really want everybody to show up, come down, bring your friends, and it's a drive-through. It'll be safe. Everything will be, you know, properly done because John from Moonstone Beach and I are doing it. So other than that, that's about it.
And that starts at what, 5 o'clock?
It starts at 4. It'll be 4 to 7.
Okay. So I just want to mention, since I was also contacted with regard to that Piney Way issue, and I referred the person to, since you were talking about especially, not so much public access, but with regard to fire. So I referred that person to Chief Hollingsworth. So as far as I know, he's the person that's handling that at this time. Is that correct?
I would agree with that, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Have a very blessed rest of the week.
Right on. Cindy, did you have a question?
Susan Farmer? Yeah, I guess maybe I missed it. The spaghetti feed, it's a fundraiser for whom or what?
Oh, just for all of those feeding groups that are going on in town. We're donating the funds to the Cambria Community Council, and they're dispersing it to the Rotary, the Lions. And
yeah. Right, right. Okay, great. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
By the way, this is probably off topic in some ways, but since Steve was just talking about the Rotary and the Lions, the food bank did a food distribution last Thursday at the Catholic Church, and over 100 cars showed up. So that the number of folks in need in that area is certainly increasing. All right, moving on to public comment, and Haley, I believe, you told me you have it. There's at least two people, right?
I actually have three comments to read.
All right. Thank you.
The first comment is from Christine Heinrichs, and it says, I asked the board not to hire a consultant to write a strategic plan for Cambria. Most of this work has already been done. The rest can be done by your board and staff. Please do not spend any more money on this needless repetition. The multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan of 2017 compiled most of the information I listed in the scope of work. The plan is posted on your website under Fire and Safety Community Hazard Plans. Changes since 2017 are not sufficient to require an entire new project. The scope of work lists 7 items. All can be accomplished, well, perhaps even better, by Cambrians than a consultant. Number 1, review all source documents that set forth the CCSD Board of Directors' authority and responsibilities to assure compliance and currency. Number 2, given the services provided by the district and the provisions in the Board of Director bylaws, review the roles and responsibilities of the CCSD Board of Directors and the General Manager and staff for clarity, alignment, and sufficiency. Number 3, identify the values and guiding principles that should guide the CCSD Board of Directors, the General Manager, and staff in doing their work now and in the future to meet the needs of the community. Number 4, review all the ways the CCSD Board of Directors can provide for transparency and openness to make it easy for the public to contribute their input, views, and feedback to the board about their performance and the services the district provides. Number five, for the other federal, state, and county bodies and agencies having jurisdiction and authority that potentially impacts the accomplishment of CCSD's provision of services, identify any conflicts and what future collaboration is needed to address them. Directors and staff know which agencies they report and with which they collaborate. Ask staff managers who recently were promoted to management positions to make lists as appropriate. Number six, for all public services that the CCSD Board of Directors is responsible to provide for Cambria, choose an appropriate future target date, and with the public support, create a vision that describes what the ideal desired outcomes would be for each of those services by that date. Number seven, given the gap between what exists today and the new vision, identify an action plan with the strategic goals, strategies, and objectives required to achieve the vision and the metrics that will track progress and measure ultimate success. The board and its standing committees are setting out actions to meet the district's needs, providing water and wastewater services, fire protection, parks and open space, and what other needs as they arise. I do not see how hiring a consultant will add anything to improving Cambria's district functioning. The board has discussed updating its mission statement and vision. While these are worthy ideas, the district does not need a consultant to assist in it discussing and making those changes. Cambria has no need to hire a consultant to add yet another layer of bureaucracy to its functioning as a district. No need of yet another expensive consultant's report to be accepted and placed on a shelf. The district cannot afford to hire another consultant. Board meetings often focus on the district's stretched finances. If the board feels that it can afford another expert, it should hire a forest manager to care for its Monterey Pine Forest, an outstanding asset that remains without coordinated professional management. Please cancel this RFP and handle these questions with the resources already available to the district. Thank you, Christine Heinrichs. The second public comment is from Chris.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Ms. Heinrich, obviously, as often happens with public comment, there's a lot to chew on. And perhaps if she could send an email to all the members of the board and appropriate staff, and email that public comment to us, it'd be much appreciated. So thank you.
Okay, the second.
Yes.
Just out of curiosity, are we maintaining a 3-minute limit?
I went over and got a clock.
Thank you.
So, you're right.
Additional question, and this is, at regular meetings, we have a comment period, but we don't reply to public comment.
Right.
If we're getting an email from Ms. Heinrich, which I appreciate the comment that was made, but if we get an email from her and then respond individually, does that cause an issue, Mr. Carmel, or because we're individually responding versus being at a public meeting and responding?
Tim, before you say anything, I wasn't necessarily saying that we needed to respond to her email. It just seemed to me that because she was giving us a lot of information to reflect upon, that being able to see it, you know, visually, I thought would be of value.
Oh, I do agree with that. I just want to stay within the boundaries of public comment. And I know I sometimes am inspired to respond to emails I get, so I just wanted clarity there.
All right. So, Tim, did you want to comment? Did you need to comment? Tim? Tim, yeah, please unmute yourself. And
there we go.
I'm technologically challenged, remember. What I said was to myself, if you're just receiving information, that's not a problem at all. Obviously, you shouldn't be replying all. With that in mind, there's no problem.
Thank you. So, yes, Haley.
Okay, the second public comment is from Cheryl McDowell. On April 28th and May 13th, the Finance Committee met via Zoom to discuss the July 1st, 2020 implementation of Bartle Wells rate study increase of water and sewer rates, which has already been approved by the Board of Directors 2 years ago. many hours of staff time and community members, along with the public, spent umpteen hours preparing for these two meetings to rehash an agenda item which is already slated to go into effect. Board of Directors, when considering implementing these increases, research the laws of the state of California. Can rate increases during a state of emergency pandemic be raised? And then consider your neighbors, what financial impact will it have on them? Perhaps these rate increases can be modified. Thank you for your time, Cheryl McDowell. And the third public comment is from Tina Dickinson. Good afternoon, President Farmer and the CCSD board. Some of us have noticed a change in how CCSD Zoom meetings are managed. When these virtual meetings first began, anyone who joined the meetings could see or know who all the attendees were. We're able to know who was in attendance, who was joining and leaving the meetings. Whether their cameras were on or off, whether microphones were on or off, we knew who was in the room just as easily could see who was in attendance during the physical traditional meetings at the Vets Hall. All this has changed. Now the only visible participants are the board or committee members and staff. All others who have may be attending the meetings are now masked or hidden. We no longer have a sense of who or which groups are in the meeting. Whether intentional or not, this change fosters distrust. In the interest of openness, honesty, and transparency, I am requesting that all those who join Zoom meetings of the CCSD board or Zoom meetings of CCSD committees be identifiable and not hidden from anyone who attends these virtual meetings. Regards, Tina Dickinson. And then I also noticed that Christine Heinrichs is attending the meeting and has raised her hand to speak.
So that's a little awkward. I mean, Christine just made a public comment.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I think then we get into an exchange discussion rather than just as if a comment was made at a podium.
May I comment on that, Mr. President?
Certainly.
In view of the fact that this is a new environment and the rules have not been fully explained, I think that this one time we should allow her to speak, but we need to make it clear that normally, just like in our regular meetings, you don't get to stand up more than once at the podium during public comment. So, but that hasn't been explicitly stated, so I think it's fair to allow her to make this one time only. But all other people listening need to be aware of that. We're not changing our rules. That's me talking. Now it needs to come from the president, but that's my suggestion.
Well, I'm kind of embarrassed. So, Tim, it sounds like I should be able to make this decision on my own, but I feel a little bit awkward considering these unusual circumstances. Tim, if you could unmute yourself, and thank you.
You have discretion, President Farmer.
Well, I think since we had public comment already from Ms. Heinrichs, so if she has a comment further on in a regular agenda item, that will be fine. But I think that's sufficient for now. So we will move forward. Are there any other public comment, Haley?
There is no other public comment at this time.
All right, fine. Thank you. So let's move forward to the consent agenda. I believe we probably have at least two board members that would like to make a comment on the consent agenda. So whoever would like to either visually raise their hand or raise their hand on the screen would be fine with me. And Director Rice.
For consent agenda 4A, the continuing resolution, I would appreciate if in future we had this as not on the consent agenda, because there may be some direction that the board wants to give or some discussion that we want to have relating to things that are happening, and getting an update from the GM would be a good thing. So, I mean, I would really like, there's a reason why we have it on the agenda, and it's not just to check mark it. It's so that we need to give direction or take action on something specific. So on future agenda items, I would like to see that not be on consent. And then second is I'd like to pull item 4B for discussion.
All right, thank you. I believe we have probably another board member who would like to comment on that as well. Director Howell, did you wish to make a remark on 4B?
4B, yes. If we're moving it off the consent agenda, then it will appear under regular business, and that's where it will be appropriate for me. What I plan on doing is asking that this be tabled. So, but I don't think it's proper yet because we're still in the consent agenda. So that is one thing I wanted to say. My reasoning for that can appear when the topic comes up for discussion. I have some concern, however, about 4C, only in that I think that I don't have a lot of feeling one way or the other on it, but I don't fully understand why we are doing this and what the advantage is. So even though it's on the consent agenda, I really would feel very uncomfortable voting for or against this without hearing an explanation from the general manager as to why we should do this.
So it would appear that items 4B and 4C are going to be pulled, and we'll place them on the either the first or second June agenda. Is that?
I think they can go, if I may say, they can go on this meeting. They just can't go on the consent agenda.
Okay. All right. So perhaps we should just wait after we've done regular business and see if we have the opportunity to discuss them then, if everybody feels comfortable with that, or we can, like I said, push them forward to June. Would any of the other directors other than Director Rice and Director Howell wish to comment?
Well,
yes, Vice President Steidel.
I really don't have a problem with 4A. I was going to ask a couple of questions, but I'm sorry, with 4B. Most of what's described in there has kind of been vetted a lot, and I guess I don't necessarily understand what the issues may be, and including the fact that the SEIU has agreed to the outline of it, and most of my questions just have to do with what the implementation would be as far as training for staff or managers or setting a set schedule for reviewing the policies on as needed basis. But we can certainly go with it being on the I guess the only drawback, I think, by not addressing it or pushing it out, and granted, it's been 33 years since it's been updated, so I get that part of it. But I also recognize that by having been made aware of that and by having something in front of us, if there's any issue that occurs relative to personnel regulations, any potential issues coming out of it by continuing to have district personnel regulations in existence that are 33 years old and still continuing to use them when we know that they need to be updated, and they've been updated and they've been vetted.
Well, since you just reminded us, the last time that they were, discussed was when Ronald Reagan was president. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea just to kind of revisit them, you know, refresh our memory, and perhaps take a look at what we might be feeling a little bit awkward about.
Okay.
So, all right. So is everyone comfortable with? So well, it sounds like. Yes.
President Farmer, what I'd really like to see is at least to the point where we find out exactly what the objections are, and then we can either table or decide to do whatever we want. But I think we need to at least find out what the objections are to having them on the consent. So why don't we just, as regular business, start with those two first, and then we can go on from there.
Okay. So I would
move approval of consent agenda item A.
Second. I second.
Okay, so we are approving consent agenda item A and moving items B and C further down to regular business today. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. All righty. So let's take Haley. Let's take a vote on the consent agenda item 4A.
Director Rice?
Yes.
Director Howell?
Yes.
Director Pearson?
Yes.
Vice President Seidel?
Yes.
President Farmer?
Yes. All right, moving on to 5A, hearings and appeals. And let me just... Mr. Weigold, would you like to lead this discussion, or begin this discussion, please?
Yes. Bear with me while I find the item.
I'd be glad to do it.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Tim, if you're at the ready.
Thank you, President Farr. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Thank you, President Farr, members of the board. At your April 16th regular meeting, you established water and wastewater standby or availability charges, which are imposed on all owners of all developed parcels and owners of undeveloped parcels with intent to serve letters or connection permits. These charges are a critical revenue source for capital improvement projects, major maintenance, and capital outlay projects. Adoption of Resolution 17-2020 confirms the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges and authorizes their collection on the tax rolls. This is a public hearing to consider any objections or comments related to confirmation of the itemized report. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
So any of my fellow directors have any questions or concerns on this item? Well, other than the shaking of one head, it appears that everybody is fairly comfortable with this item. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. So,
are there any public comments or objections, Haley?
Elizabeth.
There are no public comments at this time.
At this time, okay. So it seems as if we could, someone could make a motion to approve this item. Don't all jump in.
I would move that. For adoption of Resolution 17-2020 confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges for collection on the county tax rolls.
Thank you, Vice President Steidel. Do we have a second?
I second.
Thank you, Director Pearson. Can we have a roll call vote, please, Haley?
Yes. Vice President Steidel?
Yes.
Director Pearson?
Yes.
Director Howell?
Yes.
Director Rice?
No.
President Farmer?
Yes. All right, moving on to regular business. And we will first consider those two items that we moved from the consent agenda. So let's go with 4B with regarding personnel regulations. So General Manager Weigold, could you go ahead and introduce this item, please?
Yes, Mr. President. Agenda item 4B is consideration of adoption of Resolution 19-2020, approving the updated district personnel regulations. Staff is recommending that the board adopt Resolution 19-2020 to approve these regulations. The municipal code provides for the adoption of the district personnel policy, procedures, and rules by the board. The district's current regulations were adopted close to 33 years ago in 1987 and have not been updated since. What the staff has done in preparation for this, other than put it in a nice clean format, is we went back through all the board meeting notes, resolutions for updates of personnel policies since that date, and updated this document. We then coordinated with council to review all of that. And we also got acceptance by both the IAFF and the SEIU unions have both approved this document. So this is now updated with all the board actions since 1987. It was an immense effort by two of our staff members to do this over, I don't know how many months it took, but it was a lot of work. But standing by to answer any questions you may have.
Well, I believe that it was Directors Rice and Howell that had some concerns. So either one of you can go ahead and make a comment to begin.
If I might, first I want to acknowledge former Director Gail Robinette. This update would not have happened without her getting the ball rolling when she started on the board after being appointed in 2011. And we would not have gotten anywhere without her constant pushing of staff to get this update done. So I want to thank Gail Robinette, because this would not be here 9 years after she started pushing the ball in front of us. We wouldn't be this far without the work that she put in to push it forward. I also want to thank David Hirsch and Tim Carmel's office for the work that they put in when I was president, which, as all of you know, was at least 2 years ago. I was part of a couple of conference calls discussing these updates. And so this has been going on for much longer than a few months, and quite a few staff members who are not even here anymore have had input to make sure that we have something good. I don't know if what's in front of us is any part of what they'd been working on prior to Mr. Weigold coming on board. The reason I pulled it is because there are a few things in here. My position always on these has been, because the board has to approve these policies, and I want to be responsible for good policies. It would be good to know there's some things in here that are required by state law, by federal law, to be in here and worded the way that they are. There's some things, though, that the board may have discretion on, and there's a few things that are actually seem really, really thin. For example, I'm looking at, there's duplicated section of the vehicle use policy. If you look on page, I'm looking article 21, which at the top of the page, it says page 51, at the bottom, it says 45. It says violation of rules. It doesn't have any process at all. If I'm an employee and I want to know what happens to if I violate rules, there isn't anything in this section. Now, it might be under an employee grievance section, right? So there's three things. There's three different types of things in here. There's board discretionary types of things. There's things that are federal state law can't be changed, and there's things that must be in compliance with the MOUs because we've made agreements with that with the two unions, and if this affects all employees. There, so I worry that there's a few sections that are thin and are don't give enough guidance for how we handle things, and some things that don't need to be touched at all. The work is ready, but I don't feel this is that we can cover this. It shouldn't be on consent because it is a major policy thing and a major update. And there are some things that the board might want to have some input on, things that we can have input on. Let me be clear, because there are three different types of things in here. The ones that we have to have for state and federal law purposes, the ones that we cannot change because of the MOUs we recently signed. And then there's the third type. And if we could find out of this document, which things are the third type, would be really helpful. Because then if there's something that the information's too thin, if I were an employee, there's a couple places in here where I'm like, well, okay, that's good. Like the violation of rules is the best example I can give. Okay, I break a rule, something's going to happen to me, but I have no idea what that process will be. So I'm not comfortable approving this today. I would like to see us take a little more time and make sure that there aren't things in here that we would like to change and can. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Rice. Director Howe, did you wish to?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you. First of all, to piggyback on what Director Rice said, there are actually four things, because in addition to the three that Director Rice mentioned, in my opinion anyway, there are some things that are really the general manager's purview and that it is not up to us to decide certain procedures, operational procedures, and the like. However, since this is brought before us, and since we are being asked to vote on it, I personally feel that I need to pay very close attention to all of it. I have to tell you, I'm going to move, as soon as I finish talking here, I'm going to move that this be tabled to our next meeting or postponed, because we don't have a motion yet. So I'm going to move that this be postponed to at least our next meeting. And here is why. I've carefully gone through this, and while I don't wish to denigrate the work that has been done, it's clearly it's a very old policy, and it's definitely been in need of improvement, and clearly work has been done. However, I found a total there was 21 different places where there are either typos, some of which actually may change the meaning. There is a lonesome paragraph that you really cannot tell what it's supposed to be. In other words, there are numerous typos. There are places that are thin, and there are places also that I have some serious questions about. What I would like to do is have the opportunity, since staff has worked so hard on this, I would be quite happy to go over these 21 different things with staff to resolve any questions I might have and put it in a position where I could then vote for this. I cannot vote in favor of this in its present state. And I need to, again, remind staff that I will never vote for anything that I have not read every word for. And so if you are in a hurry to get something done, you need to get it to me in time for me to go over it and get back to you. You don't want to go through this kind of thing where we're in a public meeting and then I'm going to start having to question your work. So I guarantee I will read everything that you ask me to vote for. And so you can count on that. And so I'm sorry that I have to ask for this delay. So I hereby move that this matter be postponed until I can deal with my problem in a week. So I move that this be postponed until our next meeting next week, giving me time to approach staff on this.
All right. Now, I know that Director Pearson had a different viewpoint, so... David, would you like to comment?
On this one, I don't think I did. My one question to Director Howell would be, you know, we got this last Friday. How much notice do you need when they're going to run something by us?
Oh, thank you.
I understand you're a busy guy, but and I read every word of the thing too, and you know I didn't like everything that I read, but you know I yeah.
May I respond?
Sure.
Let's see. Suddenly, I'm sorry. I suddenly drew a blank. What are we talking about? Damn. This getting old is just horrible.
Okay, so they sent us this
I remember it.
On Friday.
So your question is how much time is enough time?
Yes.
In this case, it would be enough time for me to review it and get back to staff. So clearly, to give it to me on Friday when staff is scrambling to get everything to get together for a meeting the next week, that's not enough time. This could take several hours, and staff has got other stuff to do. So it's just that in order to save time, you know, if staff anticipates that I'm going to have questions, it'd probably be a good idea to go ahead and approach me on that first rather than wait. That's all. And so, yes, I would say in this case, probably a week in advance would have been good, but certainly more enough days so that I could review it and get back to staff.
Okay.
President Farmer?
Yes, excuse me, Vice President Steidel, yes, go ahead.
Don, the only thing that I would relate to you that probably that this discussed and advised between myself and President Farmer is that we review the agendas. And we get recommendations for the staff on what goes into the consent agenda and what goes into the business and which meeting it's going to go into. So if there's a shortcoming and a fault here, I think that maybe what there needs to be is a different kind of conversation between myself and President Farmer relative to the agendas rather than putting it on a shortcoming of the staff.
Well, I think if
I need to respond, Harry.
Okay.
I did not ever mean to imply that there is a shortcoming with staff. That is not my implication at all. It's just a reminder to staff that what they can expect from me, and they can expect that anything that they give me to approve, I will examine in great detail. And it is not that they're doing anything wrong. Everything is fine. All I need is a little more time on this, if you want me to vote for it. And there's no second, by the way, to my motion to postpone.
President Farmer, if this does get postponed, I'd recommend that we move it to June. Okay. As you know, we've discussed the fact that next week's agenda is already very compacted.
Well, I had already, in a previous conversation with Director Howell, I had already suggested that. You know, I think the fact that we have two directors here who have expressed concern on this item, it should be pushed to June so we can have a little bit further discussion and some clarity on this item. But I will say this with regard to what Vice President Steidel mentioned with regard to her and I, as well as staff being involved in preparing the agenda, we don't necessarily, you know, all we see is, you know, the basic two pages. That's what we agree to. We don't necessarily, Vice President Steidel and myself, we don't see the full agenda until all the other directors do. So maybe we should have anticipated that this is going to be a lengthy item that might have had some touch of controversy to it in one fashion or another, but we really didn't have any way of knowing that. So I just want to put that out there in case people think we're... if you can find other places where we're falling down on the job. Hopefully this isn't one of them.
President Farmer?
Yes, Director Rice.
I would move that we postpone this item to the next reasonable agenda so that gives you some opening as president and the general manager to put it on an agenda maybe that isn't as full, because it doesn't matter to me if it's June or not. We've got the contracts in place. So I would move that we move this to a future agenda to be decided, right. You know, hopefully ASAP, but, you know,
Well, as long as it doesn't push forward to the next presidency, we'll probably be okay. So, Director Howe, would you like to second this, please?
Well, yes, I will withdraw my previous motion and I second Director Rice's motion.
Haley, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, sorry. Director Rice?
Yes.
Director Howe?
Yes.
Director Pearson?
Yes.
Vice President Seidel?
Yes.
President Farmer?
Yes.
President Farmer, just a really quick, one of the things that it took me a year and a half or so to learn is when there's something in the agenda packet that I have concerns about, I need to go to the GM and raise them. Because if it pertains to just having, like, I noticed a few typos and spelling errors and misused words also. And those are things that we can pretty quickly change as part of a motion. But if you have questions, concerns, you really should take them to the GM prior to the meeting, if only to notify the GM that you're going to have some questions so he can be prepared to answer whatever those questions might be. It took me a while to learn on the board that was a helpful thing for everybody involved. So I just wanted to make that suggestion. Thank you, President Farmer.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Director Rice, who obviously has been on the board for 8 years now and is president for 2 years, I think what you're advising me is probably the wise thing for me to do is I see something in an item, I should perhaps call one or two other directors and see if they are in some kind of agreement with what I'm observing and then go to the general manager.
I was actually just suggesting that going to the general manager is a good idea. You don't want to have too much discussion that might lead to somehow, you know, accidentally tripping into a Brown Act violation. So I was actually suggesting that each director take questions to the general manager. And if the general manager can't answer because it belongs to another manager on staff, then they can direct the director to the correct staff person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we just had a vote on what was initially 4B, I guess is now be 6A. So moving on to the next item, which would be what was initially 4C. So General Manager Weigold, if you could introduce this item, please. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mr. President, agenda item 4C is consideration to approve and execute resolution 20-2020 authorizing an interlocal contract for cooperative purchasing. Staff is recommending that the board approve and execute this resolution that authorizes me, the general manager, to execute an interlocal contract with the Houston-Galveston Area Council for cooperative purchasing through HGAC Buy. There's no fee impact on this. And essentially, I'm sorry if it was confusing. So in our purchasing policy, we have requirements to execute purchasing within parameters of our policy. One of those is getting three bids before we purchase anything. While that's great, there's some time that's involved in doing that, in researching, finding bidders that have the right kind of product that we're interested in. Sometimes we can't find three bids. So there are these five cooperative purchasing organizations that have stood up around the country. And for example, on this one, there are 418 other California public agencies are already members. This is nothing other than an extra tool for our existing purchasing policy. It allows us another avenue to go to find products and services that have already been vetted as a result of this. They guarantee that. So it speeds up staff time that we normally spend doing our own research, trying to find similar products. They've already done that. And I'll turn it over to Ray D'Enzo, our district engineer, for additional comment on this.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, John. Specifically for this, most
utility departments have really, you know, have this at their disposal. And what it is that it doesn't supersede any of the RFP process per se, because the volume pricing that's involved in these cooperatives, if you will, they've already done the RFPs, and we're basically piggybacking that, you know, oh, you got a good price on that particular item. We would like to buy that item at that price that you've already had an RFP set up and have gotten bids for. So this is really good for things that where specs are really difficult to write. For this example here, we're intending to buy the sewer video camera through this particular service. And they've already done the specs and the price is already good. So and since we already have the spec and it's camera that we like and we're pretty happy with, we wanted to go ahead and purchase it. The next step would have been to put it out to RFP, which would have taken a lot of time. But when we found out that they were part of this the service, that we could buy it through them, that we decided to sign up with this particular organization. But in order to do that, we do need to have a board approval, which is totally understandable because they do go through an RFP process. So we have to pretty much endorse their RFP process. And so, yeah, it doesn't supersede any of our purchasing policy. It is just another tool that will save us time instead of generating our own RFP, which takes staff time and all of this. We can just piggyback onto bids that have already been received by other agencies.
Thank you, Ray. Did you wish to make another comment, Mr. Weigold, or should I open this up for a board discussion?
No, Mr. President. Subject to your questions, though.
All right. So, Director Howell, did you wish to make a comment here?
I do have some questions. I was hoping to hear from others before I dived in here.
Well, maybe I should have left it a little bit more open.
No, that's all right. I can go ahead and there's a couple of things. On the face of it, I don't have a problem, but as I say, this is a little new to me, as I'm not fully up to speed as to how this works. But if I understand, so tell me if this is correct, is that for those services or supplies that you're considering getting through this service, that the service has already issued an RFP and done the necessary receiving and an analysis of bids. Is that correct? And they have actually done that process? And so we are simply piggybacking upon that process? Is that correct? Okay, good. That helps. The only reservation I have here, and I will vote for this, although I do have some questions about it, because there are some items in our current purchasing policy that I can see might go against this practice. I expect it's going to be a judgment call on the part of management. We do have some verbiage in the current purchasing policy, which, by the way, is under review by the policy committee even as we speak. There is verbiage in there that whenever possible, we should be awarding contracts to, for example, to local businesses, to minority-owned businesses, to women-owned businesses, that kind of thing. There may also be issues, depending upon the nature of the product and service, where one could make an argument that taxes and other monies collected in San Luis Obispo County would be better spent in this county. So again, that's an area of some concern, but not sufficient to where I would vote against this. I do see the advantages to doing so, but I will be interesting to see as we go forward how much of the existing purchasing policy can still be supported by this arrangement. So that's my only concern. I will vote for this, however, unless I hear something really drastically, that somebody else can bring up as an objection.
Any other members of the board wish to enter into this discussion on this item? Yes, Director Rice.
I'm just looking at the force majeure term in the sample contract, and the determination of force majeure shall. I'm on page 73. The determination of force majeure shall rest solely with HGAC, and they're in Texas.
No. Thank you, Amanda. Sorry. I was speaking out of turn. Sorry. That's not acceptable.
No, that's all right. But that's in Article 10, and it concerns me because this company is in Texas, and every state is doing their own thing with this current pandemic, which I would argue could be considered force majeure materials. So that it's just a concern. I do not want to get in the way of our staff choosing the appropriate vendors that they need to get the equipment and supplies and services that the district needs. I do not want to get in the way of that. And I don't want to get into micromanaging who we buy stuff from. There is a nod to spending local with local business, so that they can that if the prices are slightly higher, we can still choose that option. But it's the force majeure term that without further information from HGAC, I'm a little concerned about that particular term.
Director Pearson, did you wish? I know you wish to make another comment.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from Mr. Carmel about the force majeure first.
Well, I think they have that provision in. Am I on yet? I'm in there because performance of this contract is in Texas. We just pay.
Okay. So I did talk to General Manager Weigold about this item because I had some reservations. The company I worked for, Train, was part of a bid on these kind of things, and we use these contracts to supply school districts, universities, et cetera, for many different things, because they again, like to use these kind of contracts to make it easy for them to buy things that they just naturally bought one right after another, like a rooftop air conditioning unit, for instance, okay? And I asked specifically whether our own purchasing policy would rule over anything that happened with this particular buying agreement, and I was assured it would. That would be, you know, the reigning thing. And I asked that maybe we could put a paragraph in this resolution that said exactly that our purchasing policy was, you know, nothing that we couldn't buy anything from these people that did not comply completely with our purchasing policy. Okay, as far as how much we could buy and who we were buying from, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that would be a little clarity that would make me happy on resolution and stuff. So if we could somehow get that added in and put this back on the consent agenda for next week, maybe that would make everybody happy.
So, Mr. Carmel, does that seem to be an appropriate suggestion for this particular issue?
If that's the direction of the board, that's not a problem.
Yeah. Okay. So perhaps, so we'll... David, perhaps you can get together with staff and choose the wording that you would like for this particular item, and then we can put it in there and just put it on the consent agenda. Does that make sense? Is that adequate?
Yeah, okay. I think they can handle it themselves, but Vice President Seidel has her hand up too.
All right. I believe Director Howell did also. So Vice President Seidel.
As a suggestion, the last sentence of the agenda item says compliance with the district policy, including purchase limits approvals, will be maintained. And we could add to that, in in consideration of any purchase through the HGAC buy. That might cover.
Like add that to the resolution, is that what you're saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, and if other people are comfortable, maybe we're in the position of being able to vote on this today.
Mr. D'Anzo, yes, you had an additional comment.
Oh, yeah, thank you. If I may ask, the reason why we put this before you is we wanted to buy that sewer video camera that we've been talking about for a long time. And there is a time limit to the pricing that we want for that camera. And it was really important that we had this that this contract be executed before we get that camera. And we're in danger of losing it, is what I'm saying. So if there was some kind of an option to maybe approve this particular cap for this contract, just for this one purchase, I would be open for that too.
So you're mainly concerned about this one particular item?
Yes.
Director Howell has his hand.
Director Howell, okay. See, I am looking on the side here. Yes, go ahead.
I think we can go forward with pretty much with the wording that Director... Well, I remember what people's names are.
Director
Pearson. Another person you've talked before. Yeah,
Director Pearson. I think that... and I think we can go ahead if we... it's a very simple wording. I think with that in there, I think most people would be satisfied. So, and I think Director Steidel, I couldn't find the location where you suggested adding it. Can you say that again?
Listen, this is on the wording itself that I was quoting is on page 71, which is actually the agenda item 4C. And the last sentence to that talks about access to providing the additional purchasing option for the district. For the second sentence, compliance with the district purchasing policy, including purchase limits and approvals, will be maintained. And I just added, to round that out, in accessing HGAC buy for any purchases by the district.
And then if we could take that sentence as suggested by Director Steidel and just add that to the resolution, and I think we'd be fine.
Is that a motion?
Is there a motion on the floor? I'll make a motion.
Not yet.
Okay. I move that Resolution 20-2020 be adopted with the following amendment. It would be in the recitations, would it not, Tim?
I can repeat if you'd like, Director Howell.
Well, that's even better. So now, whatever she says, that's the motion.
it would be compliance with the district purchasing policy, including purchase limits and approvals, will be maintained when accessing purchase through HGAC buy for the district's needs.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll add that as the last recital.
Okay.
I second that motion.
Ah.
Okay. I was just going to ask Director Pearson how he felt about that. So, Haley, let's hope that item 20-2020 gives us even greater clarity of vision moving forward. and while we're doing that, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Vice President Steidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. All right. Moving on to regular business and item 6A. And I guess we can either, well, actually, you know, this is, it's item 6A. Let's just call it that. And let me hand this off to General Manager Weigold and Ms. Duffield.
Okay, President Farmer, agenda item 6A is discussion of third quarter budget report and consideration of approval of resolution 21-2020 amending the fiscal year 2019-20 budget. And I will turn this over to the finance manager to take you all through the rest.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Farmer, members of the board. As Mr. Weigold said, this is the third quarter budget report. So included in the third quarter budget report is the expenditures from July 1st of 2019 through March 31st of 2020. And in the third quarter of this report, which would be January to March, we do have two budget adjustments we are requesting, and that is in Resolution 21-2020. Those are outlined on page 177 of this report. The first budget adjustment we have is just simply a cleanup item. So your board previously authorized the purchase of a generator for the water fund. And when you authorized that, our budget was a little bit short from what the actual cost of the generator was. Your board authorized $49,000, and the generator came in slightly higher than that at $50,449. So this is just simply a cleanup item to correct the budget line item for this capital project, because we are required to do that for capital items. The second budget adjustment being requested is to the SWF fund. This is to reallocate money from savings from the tank purchase that occurred earlier this year and move that money to the urban water management plan. There's no fiscal impact to either one of these projects, as they're just reallocating budget from one project to the next. The SWF project is something you'll be hearing about later in the agenda. It's coming in at agenda item number 6E, or it used to be 6E. I'm not really sure what number it is at this time, but it used to be 6E. So you'll be hearing more about that from the utilities manager and Mr. Weigold during that presentation. So moving forward to the summary sheet. The first summary sheet we'll talk about is the general fund summary sheet, and you can find that on page 124. And this, again, the general fund includes all activities for the fire department, facilities and resources, PROS, and administration. Overall, we're faring very well. If you look at our estimated actuals projected at the end of the fiscal year, which is column R, we're projecting to have overall operating surplus of $369,000. There are some things that are brewing that might change that number, and that is expenditures related to response to the COVID. The fire department seems to keep incurring costs related to disinfection and protective equipment for their employees. So that could change a little bit coming into the fourth quarter. As you are also aware, is our administrative office and several of our Windows 7 computers were attacked with a virus about 2 weeks ago. So that's escalated us to replace about 12 computers district-wide. So, you know, you will see those effects of purchasing those computers all in 1 year instead of staggering them over 2 years like we had planned. So you might see throughout the fourth quarter a few of those items changing. And then in the facilities and resources area, we have also had, you know, a greater response to the homeless during the COVID response. You know, there are some porta potties that we're paying for, and the facilities manager and his staff are having to do, you know, additional sanitation to other areas. They've been putting up signage. There's a lot of things that they've done in response to this pandemic event that was not planned for in our budget. So overall, we think we're still going to not come in with a deficit in the general fund, but just some things for you all to be aware of, you know, in the next couple of months. So unless you have any questions, I will move forward to the enterprise funds. Oh, I see one question.
Yes, Director Rice.
So I was looking through this and I was looking, and it looks like that we have vets hall maintenance under the general administration and not facilities and resources. I was just looking for where I had that notation.
Under what?
I think it was under administration instead of the facilities and resources department. I know they come out of the same fund, but I'm trying to find, I know I made a notation of it and I cannot find my notation on it.
So our vets hall maintenance should be building, building maintenance. You should see that in, let's see, where does facilities start? Facilities, their expenditures start on page 135. So that is where all the vets hall maintenance would happen. The buildings and grounds, the vets hall maintenance, their utilities, you know, supplies for repairs and whatnot would be there. And but you're thinking it's an administration?
Yes, I'm looking at page 147.
Okay.
It's line 85.
Oh.
So this, it's just a general ledger account that rolls through all the budgets.
Okay, so like when it says maintenance and repairs buildings under administration rather than under facilities and resources.
Right, just that general ledger account just repeats. But if you see there's no information on that line at all, there's no adopted budget and there's no expenditures. We tried to keep the templates the same when we have our general ledger account repeat. So it's just in here and it just isn't used.
Okay. So then my second question, the only other comment that I have is on page 146, we have an estimated actual on director pay that's greater than $600 a month for a fiscal year. And I know I've been guilty of turning in timesheets past a fiscal year, but that's an extra $3,000, isn't it? For the director pay. We're not overpaying. I mean, $600 is not a lot when you attend six meetings that are all more than an hour long, but I'm just asking that why we're going over that amount. That seems like statutorily we shouldn't.
Well, it would be a crossing of fiscal years. So if you think of it, you know, making sure everybody has the right amount of timesheets in every fiscal year. So if they didn't get their timesheet in for June or May or April in the prior fiscal year, and they submitted them in July or August, that's going to skew the amount, because what I budget is for five directors, six meetings a month for 12 months. So if we do exceed that number, it would just be that it would have something that happened outside the fiscal year period. And remember, okay, That's also a calculated field. So it's assuming that whatever's happened in the first three quarters of the month, we straight line out to the end of the year.
Thank you. That's a very helpful information. I didn't realize I was looking at a calculated field versus a field that was. Thank you. That helps.
Yeah, because, you know, when I look at that estimated actual column, I always have to have a formula in that column for things that aren't an annual payment. So, we're always making sure we straight line out those numbers based on what has happened thus far in the year or additional things that we actually know will occur that haven't occurred so far. Okay. Do you want me to go on to enterprise funds? Okay. So the enterprise funds you will see on page 152, and that is a combination of water, SWF operations, SWF capital, and wastewater. As for the water fund is looking like it is going to have a surplus at the end of the year. We're looking at around $298,000. So the one variable that we've recently had the information for that could change this variable is what is happening in our actual utility billing going forward in March, April, and May and June. So with the shelter at home order, you know, more people are at home, but then the commercial businesses aren't being able to operate at full capacity as well as the lodging. So our overall, our overall revenue stream for March and April versus what the January revenue stream was, is our revenues are down $50,800. And that equates to around $23,000 less in revenue for water, $14,000 less in revenue for SWF, and $13,000 less for wastewater. So with this projected surplus, it seems like the water fund will survive and can, you know, take that hit. But, you know, again, we have to keep watching this very closely because, you know, we just still don't know how long this is going to continue and, you know, how much more revenue we're going to potentially lose in the next 2-month billing cycle. So just to bring that to your attention that we do have the first round of information for the billing cycle. The billing summary should be on the website now. I think it got posted yesterday afternoon, so the billing total summary should be on the website. Moving into SWF, SWF overall is looking a little bit underwater. The overall projection for SWF is a deficit of $148,000. But again, that's taking projections and assumptions. And again, we're still, you know, trying to understand what the revenue stream will bring in SWF and then the operations that will continue or not continue at the plant. So, you know, that's still being worked out. And when the plant will actually be running for the 2-month test, I think that timeline is also still being worked out. So, this is taking a lot of assumptions into account, but again, over the next 2 months, we will see how it actually pans out on June 30 when all the costs are received. Moving on to wastewater. Wastewater has a significant surplus projected. It has a surplus of $469,000 projected. And there's a couple of big ticket variables that have occurred in that number. The first is we budgeted for 2 full-time wastewater collection workers. And until just this April, did those positions not get filled. So all of that salaries and benefits have been unused thus far this year. The overall services and supplies for wastewater are also trending a little low. You know, it's just the trend. More and more things are becoming repaired. So maybe we're finally starting to gain some efficiencies little by little. I know John still has had some struggles with some things, but overall, I think, you know, he's in a better state than they've been in a long time. And then as far as the debt service, we had projected that we were going to make a debt service payment for the Vactor truck of $95,000, and that will not be due the way we financed it for 1 year, so that will be unspent during this fiscal year. Also, the other debt service that we projected was for the crane truck. And by the time that the board authorized that purchase back in January, I believe, January or February, and by the time we took, or sorry, January, February of the prior year, and by the time we took possession of that, it was around June of last fiscal year. So when the financing agreement closed and the loan actually closed, it was into the month of July of 2019. So our debt service for this piece of equipment is not due until fiscal year 2021. It won't be due till July 2020. So that's an additional amount of money that will most likely not be spent this fiscal year. I think we're just going to be moving that into the budget for next year. So that is about all that I have to report on the fiscal period of the third quarter. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Mm-hmm. Do board members have any questions of Ms. Duffield? Mm-hmm. Well, Pam, while other folks are looking, I just want to ask a question.
Okay.
I notice under all the enterprise funds, you know, we have salaries and wages, and then personnel services. I'd like to, an explanation as to, and personnel services are always a higher amount. So could you explain what personnel services are?
That is a combination of all of the salaries and all of the benefits. It's those two components. You'll see a subtotal under salaries, and then you'll see a subtotal under benefits, and that's the combination of the two.
Thank you.
President Farmer.
Yes, I'm sorry, Director Rice.
I don't see in the staff report anywhere, and I'm pretty sure the Finance Committee did take a review of this. Is that correct, Vice President Steidel?
Yes, it is.
So one of the things, and this is going to be in one of the agenda items later today, but one of the things that President Farmer has on his goals is about bringing the committees in and having the committees be participating and helping the board. And so I would actually find it helpful to know that somewhere in the staff report that the committee looked at it. I know that we can read the minutes, we can attend the meetings, as long as it doesn't cause problems, which we can get into that another time. The reality is that there's a majority recommendation, maybe even a dissenting opinion that should be forwarded from your committee. And I would suggest that it should be through the staff report. And I appreciate that committee is helping staff to get this report ready. But I think we need to acknowledge the hard work of the people on that committee, which I was very glad to see is highly competent and well run by you, Vice President Steidel. But I think we need to be acknowledging the work that gets done by those, because when I look at a budget thing, the last thing I want to do is pour over the whole thing, especially when I know competent people have already done so and have provided comments and feedback. And if there were something that was still dissenting or whatever, I'm just saying it would help me make a better decision to know who all was involved in the review.
And I'll respond to Director Rice. Thank you for the committee. They are excellent and are very capable in the work that they do in support of the district and to the board. I agree with you. I think that it's an excellent point taken. And for some reason, generally, I somehow in my mind had that those kinds of statements are part of agenda items when they're appropriate. And I would say we could certainly make sure in discussion with staff to have that be part of the annotation. And you're absolutely right. The condition of the review by at least the finance committee is something that is then normally generated through the staff report when it comes out. For point of reference, the budget was reviewed and it was recommended going forward unanimously with a 5-0 vote.
And I just want to reemphasize that it's not about necessarily recognizing the committee, but to me, as a citizen, I want to know that independent of staff, we've got people that are, not that I don't trust staff, but that's kind of the point. We're checking each of checks and balances, you know.
Those are financial controls, and it's important for us to mention that and to let the community know that those are things that are part of the normal course of how we are now doing business. And that's why we're seeing some of the things reflected in the budgetary data that we're seeing right now.
100% agreed with that. And I, like I said, I'm trying to build that trust by showing that we do have lots of eyes besides staff, besides GM, working on this. And that's why if we don't have discussion on something because the committee recommends it, we know somebody already did wade all the way into the rushes and weeds.
And I do appreciate you mentioning it. Thank you.
Thank you both. Ms. Duffield?
Yeah, so I'm sorry, that's my fault. I should have included that blurb in the report. I did indicate in the recommendations that we took the capital project reallocation to both the resources and infrastructure committees and also the finance committee, but I just forgot the blurb at the end to say when finance looked at this report, which was on the 28th of April. So I will make sure that I include that in my verbal report, and also I will add it to the staff report in future quarterly reports.
I would move that we approve Resolution 21-2020 amending the fiscal year 19-20 budget.
Mr. Weigold, I saw you had your hand up earlier. Did you wish to make a comment?
I had the same comment as Pam, so I lowered my hand.
Okay, thank you. It sounds like... Director Rice just made a motion, if I'm not mistaken.
And I seconded it.
Thank you. I didn't see that, Vice President Steidel. So roll call vote, please, Haley.
Director Rice?
Yes.
Vice President Steidel?
Yes.
Director Howell?
Yes.
Director Pearson?
Yes.
President Farmer?
Yes. All righty. Moving on to item B, discussion and consideration regarding board goals and objectives for the year 2020. I guess I'm introducing this item. So first, let me make a comment here, because one would think, well, this should have happened like earlier in the year. And while that would seem to be the case, in the beginning of the year, what was being emphasized at that time, not just informing an ad hoc committee, but also something that was, first off, being implemented by our general manager, was to develop a strategic plan. And this strategic plan was also a vision statement, a mission statement, I should say, as well as goals and objectives. So that's the reason that it wasn't pursued at that time. But obviously, with regard to the strategic plan, it hasn't been able to move forward as anticipated for various reasons. So that's the reason that these goals and objectives are appearing to be a little late, but this is when they finally arrived. Of course, they were in the agenda packet last month, but were pushed forward to this month. So I'm just going to open for discussion the board goals and objectives that I've drawn up here, and see what comments, corrections, additions, or whatever other board members would like to make. So anybody wish to make any remarks? Okay, I see a hand raised. Director Rice, thank you.
I'm looking under goals. The second one, once given direction by the County Planning Department, prepare and complete the Urban Water Management Plan. That seems like ahead of schedule. since we don't even have a guidebook out yet, and we are considering hiring somebody on this agenda, it seems like, why do we need the direction of the county planning department for the urban water management plan, for one?
Oh.
So perhaps I'm going on a misunderstanding that the county planning department, don't they have to give us some direction?
Nope. We get a guidebook from the state. The state puts together a guidebook for how it needs to be done, which is one of the reasons why a lot of districts hire consultants to do their urban water management plan. But it's also not due until 2021 at the earliest, because we don't even expect to get the guidebook that soon. I don't know if Mr. D'Anzo is still listening or knows the answer for the deadline on the urban water management plan. It just seems like this goal for this year is premature, in my opinion. Maybe I need to be corrected. Mr. D'Anzo can.
All right, issue. Did you wish to make a comment?
Yeah, can I speak, Mr. Farmer, or is that okay?
Sure, that's why I called on
okay,
you.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, it's true what Director Weiss is saying, that the Urban Water Management Plan isn't due until July of 2021. The reason for starting this early the way we are is because of the CDP implications for it. There needs to be some studies that need to be done, specifically starting this summer, relating to the analysis that we're going to need to feed that urban water management plan coming next year. And it's true that we technically don't need even to bring a consultant in if it's just urban water management plan, but because of the CDP implications and analysis that needs to be done, we needed to get it done. So we needed to start early.
Well, perhaps what I should have said was begin to prepare and begin to prepare and move toward completion. Since, like we said, it doesn't need to be forwarded until late spring of next year. Does that make better sense, or am I still out of line?
I just think these are the goal. If these are the goals for this current year, it doesn't seem like that one doesn't. That one doesn't seem like it makes sense for a long term goal. It definitely makes sense. The other thing is, I don't see anything in here relating to the fire department at all, or the facilities and resources, or our open space really at all. And it would be nice to see some of those. I'm okay with approving these goals today, as long as you're willing to change that it's not going to be complete by the end of the year on the urban water management plan. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with what we've got here. I don't want the folks in fire or facilities to think that they're being left out of what the board is trying to get accomplished, or that they don't have anything that we'd like them to be working on, because I think that we do.
All right. So perhaps, so let me just ask this of the former president. Should I revisit this particular item and bring another goal that includes some of your concerns there with regard to fire or facilities and resources instead of this second item here?
Like I said, I'm okay with approving it today. If we can just take the word complete out of the one about the urban water management plan. Okay. And if you, as president, you would like to revisit and add some additional goals for the second half of this year, I'm also supportive of doing that, because I do want to make sure that we get some goals in place. So, and I do appreciate the very last objective you have listed about taking advantage of the diligent efforts and useful information provided by the board's standing committees. I really appreciate that acknowledgement. But I also wanted to point out, we don't want to leave out, especially during a pandemic, our emergency services folks. And especially during a pandemic when people can go outside and recreate, that we're properly funding our open space and the ranch.
All right, thank you. Vice President Steidel.
To the point of the UWMP, perhaps something that talked to initiating actions to prepare and develop the district's 2021 urban water management plan update.
Right. Well, I was going to reword it, begin to prepare. But like you said, begin to prepare and develop. Okay. Thank you.
Well, perhaps some of the things that relate to what that represents as a goal, we would probably need to have some measurable actions in the objectives that support the way that will be attained. And things like running the SWF to facilitate the in-stream flow study later on or something like that, not as an objective. Okay. Maybe a poor example, but there are bound to be objectives that may provide some kind of measurable action that we can represent there. Because, and maybe it's just me, and maybe I just throw that out to the board as a whole. That to me, objectives are descriptions of measurable actions that are going to be taken to support the goals, and they kind of need to be somewhat specific. In you've got to figure out whether or not you're attaining your objectives to achieve your goal.
All right. Thank you for that that observation. Any other board members have any further comments? Something new or something following up on what Director Rice and Vice President Steidel have said? Yes, Director Howell.
Just a word, basically to say that I agree with Director Rice. As it stands, it's fine, but I think there's definitely room to be adding some so that we don't. and possibly also regarding what Director Steidel said, that is the next go around, maybe a few more specifics related to the goals might be good. But I like what you've done. And with the change that's suggested, I mean, I don't think there's anybody here that couldn't support him, you know. So I don't think that's the issue. So a good job on that, Mr. President.
Well, so far, I would say obviously it's coming up lacking in some areas that have been observed here. But thank you so much. Director Rice, you had another comment?
I was just going to move approval of the 2020 board goals and objectives with the change to the second goal about the urban water management plan that has been discussed and hopefully is clear to the board. So I'd move approval with that, with the changes suggested to number two for the goals.
So number two should read, begin to prepare and develop the district's 2020 urban water management plan update.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
I second the motion. You need a second, Harry.
Thank you, Don. Haley, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Director Rice?
Yes.
Director Howe?
Yes.
Director Pearson?
Yes.
Vice President Steidel?
Yes.
President Farmer?
Yes. Thank you. Moving on to item 6C.
I have a point of order, however, if I may. Sorry. Should we not be calling for public comment on each of these agenda items as they happen? I don't see them, anybody raising their hands, but maybe they don't, are not aware that.
Well, I guess what I should be doing is asking Haley if we have.
We're, President Farmer, we're actually monitoring both the email system and watching for raised hands. So we'll alert you if we get one.
But I do think that you actually need to formally ask for public comment. I think Julie Tacker or somebody is going to get on our case if we don't. So we need to actually invite the public comment at the appropriate times.
Right. Well, obviously, the way we do it at the Vets Hall is that we already have all those slips right there.
Right.
So I don't have to necessarily have to ask for them because they're already there in my hand and they just keep on coming, so to speak. So, or in the president's hand, as the case may be. All right, but thank you. That's a point well taken there, Director Hall. Thank you. So once again, moving on to, hi, Ray. How are you doing? So moving on to, where are we at? Item 6C. And let me hand this off to General Manager Weigold.
Yes, President Farmer. Agenda item 6C is discussion and consideration of an introduction of Ordinance 02-2020, which amends Section 4.16 and 4.20 of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code relating to retrofit inspections and verifications. Staff is recommending that the board introduce this ordinance by title only and waive further reading. I'll turn this over to our utilities manager, but essentially, what we're doing here is leveraging outside contractors to provide more information for our retrofit program. So we're opening the aperture for more people to do inspections because we're missing a lot of information. People are jumping the gun and doing it. They know they have to do that before a sale of a home. So we're looking to capture more information. But I'll turn this over to Ray D'Enzo for a little more detail.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, John. So, yeah, that's essentially what this item is about. It's to make it more explicit that a third party can do some of the inspections in place of staff. I do want to clarify that staff and that inspections can still be done by staff. But they were just, as mentioned in the fee, because right now, like the fee would be reduced to $55 if a third party were to do the inspection. But if the homeowner still wants us to do the inspection, we can still do it for the $99.50 fee. The other thing I want to highlight with this is that it's, that there is, there's still going to be random spot checks. So even though third party people are doing the inspections, there would still be some spot checks that the inspections are being done and being done correctly. So, but yeah. So the main point is that it's intended to be cleanup code, quote unquote, to so that it's going to be more explicit that. That we could use a third party for these water conservation inspections.
So it sounds like what you're saying, if nothing else, is that this would be advantageous to both the district and not having to use staff time, and also advantageous to the homeowner who would be spending less money on the retrofits. Is that correct?
Yes, and our experience has been is that it would also add efficiency to the system because typically homeowners that want to, you know, if it really the bulk of these are for change of ownership. And most homeowners that want a prospective homeowner that wants to purchase a home would also hire a home inspector. And they could do all of that at the same time and add efficiency to the system. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very much, Ray. Mr. General Manager Weigel, did you wish to make a further comment? I'll open this up for a discussion among the board.
Okay. Just subject to your questions, Mr. President.
All right. Well, I'll just open this up to board discussion. And I see Director Rice has her hand raised. So go right ahead.
Is there any public comment on this item? Is there any public comment?
I do not have any public comment on this item.
So I am not supportive of this. We have a plan, a water master plan, which we've modified somewhat, and we have our urban water management plans. And the main thing this district does related to water supply is try to make sure the supply and the demand are matching so that we don't overdraw the creeks. It's important to measure so that you can manage. And I hear what Mr. D'Enzo is saying related to efficiencies, and home inspectors come anyway. I personally think that since one of our most important elements of our array of choices of water supply, which includes the creek, which includes during drought time right now, the advanced water treatment plant, which includes also things like the retrofit program, which includes things like the rebate program, and calculating what demand is one of the more important things that we can do. And we're a small community, and there's no reason we shouldn't be able to look at these. It's not that I don't trust outside contractors to do it. I want us to be proactive on ensuring that we're getting the actual savings from retrofits that are supposed to be happening, especially, and what I'm seeing here is it's retrofit on resale, right? This is not really about remodels. Is that the case?
Remodels too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and we've known for a long time the retrofit points program needed to be audited and updated, because here's what I'm seeing and why I object to it. I'm concerned this is going to negatively impact our CDP because it says that we're pushing off the responsibility of verifying the actual savings of water that we're putting on paper. We're not actually checking that that's what's happening. And I very much want our CDP to not be complicated up by the fact that we're not actually verifying, we're passing it off to a third party to do so and then trusting them. I'm concerned about it for that reason. Retrofit points money, if we sell retrofit points, that money is supposed to go to rebates. And this is all in the water efficiency program. And the we aren't giving rebates right now, except for the flume project, which we approved a separate amount unrelated to retrofit point income revenue that we're getting. So there's a lot of things we need to do related to retrofits besides switch the inspections away from our own staff. If the general manager doesn't feel like there's enough staffing to do the required inspections, then it's on the board to make sure that we find a way to provide the money to do those inspections, because if that is policy, and this I believe could endanger our CDP process by not having a clear verification from our that we are actually on top of it. Thank you.
Thank you. So, General Manager Weigel, I see both you and Mr. D'Enzo wish to make a comment on this. So, Mr. Weigel, why don't you go first?
Sure. I'll defer to Ray first, but then I'll follow up.
My bad. Yes, go ahead, Ray.
So, something that I do want to say that to help maybe ease some of the concerns that Director Rice has, we ran this specific program with the Coastal Commission. This is one of the, when we went over there and visited with the Coastal Commission, we specifically talked about the water conservation, this entire program. And we We talked about also the idea of having the third party inspectors do the inspections on behalf of the district. And they didn't have any concerns about that aspect of the program. So I wanted to let you know about that. I understand the concern, but I don't think that issue is going to put our coastal development permit attempts danger. And the other thing too, that that this program was also, you know, was vetted by the Coastal Commission, but it was also vetted by our the local realtors within the community, who are very familiar with our process and with water conservation and being sure the fixtures are upgraded upon resale, because it is a big part of it. Also, there's, you know, new construction, remodel, obviously, but the bulk of these are through change of ownership, and the realtors also helped us vet this program as well before we took it to coastal. Like, all of this was vetted beforehand. So I wanted to just state that to, you know, maybe, you know, answer some question in your mind about that. But that's it.
All right. Thank you very much, Ray, for that clarification. So General Manager Weigold?
Yeah, so just on Director Rice's comment again. So I clearly hear your reservation there, and hopefully Ray's comment fixed a little bit of that. But this program is actually closing a loophole rather than creating one, in my mind, because we've had a problem that people are, when they sell their home, they know they have to upgrade their fixtures, and they're doing it before we get a look at what the old ones were like. So we show up to inspect, they're already new. We didn't know what was new, what was just changed out, because we have no records. And so the only way we could do that was to work through the realtors to close that loophole. And so we really worked with them closely to develop this program. And then, as Ray mentioned, we took it to Coastal with the forms, everything. And they were very excited to see the lengths that we were going to capture everything that was happening here. So again, I would not think of it as handing off to a third party. We're still heavily involved in this with a checks and balance system. We're certifying the third parties, and then we're spot checking them. And if they're not executing to our satisfaction, they get decertified and they'll fall out of the program. But as Ray also mentioned, we will still do inspections as part of the role. It's just we're more interested in capturing more information than limited information we're getting now. Thank you.
President Farmer, if I may follow up with a question.
Yes, go right ahead, Director Rice.
So maybe part of my confusion is on the retrofit verification form, that form C1 is specifically for the retrofit on resale inspection process. Yes? Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
But, so when somebody...
But it's actually for all retrofit compliance.
Okay. So if it's a remodel or something, what other retrofit, where else would it apply?
Yeah, this would also apply for remodel as well.
So does it generate points, or does it force people to buy points? Is this a point thing related to the points?
Yeah, this actually will keep track of, this will actually give us better information than we've had in the past populating our retrofits point bank.
Okay, so that's the other objection I have. That whole thing needs to be revamped. And having retrofit points, because it used to be the case, if you wanted to put in an extra bathroom you're remodeling, or you want to build a house, you have to go actually find people's houses that need to be retrofitted and retrofit them, because then we know we've changed out a 3-gallon flush toilet in this person's house and this person's house, so we can put one in our house. The point system doesn't necessarily assure that that's actually, that those points are actually real water. And if what we're trying to capture is the before sale, it was this, and now it's in compliance, I think those retrofit on resale just need to be compliance. And I understand trying to gather the extra data, but it almost, I'm not in support of this until there's further looking at how we deal with rebates, with the money that comes in from points, with how many points we actually can verify that there was money actually or water actually saved to be able to spend those points. Because this is, we can't just account for the water on paper, you know. It's easy to change a shower head. I've done it. I've changed mine to a 1.5 gallon flow, but other people might not like that shower head that meets the regulation. And after we inspect, they put in 10 different shower heads in one shower. So to me, this doesn't solve the problem. I'm very thankful that we're going through this process. I'm not comfortable yet.
Would any other directors wish to comment on this item?
I would, President Farmer.
Vice President Stoddard, I'll go right ahead.
I had a little different perspective to it in that I think we're gaining better awareness of the conversion from the old appliances to the new appliances, because it's something that's being identified prior to the update. So instead of having to go out and look for places that have to be updated, what you're doing is defining a place that needs to be updated that's part of the escrow process in the sale of a home, and requiring that those upgrades be made as a function prior to escrow. So you're actually identifying where those actions are happening and what kind of changes are happening. I think it's providing us better visibility to what's actually going on. And now the other side of that coin about, now someone has done those things and someone new buys the property and they come into the property and make all kinds of changes, without inserting ourselves into people's lives, there's no way for us to validate what people do within their own homes. Sure. And I don't know how you'll ever get over that privacy issue. I don't know that it can be addressed. The only way it would ever represent itself is just by water consumption. And if they're consuming water outside a reasonable identification for their household size, then, you know, maybe we could look at it in that regard, but we can't control people's lives in that way, at least in my, you know, opinion.
I also don't think we should be using retrofit on resale to build points for new water use, because every house should be compliant with the current ordinance when it gets sold. And just because it used to have a water hog of a fixture before, that extra water saved through a more efficient fixture or appliance, I don't think that, because part of the reason for the retrofit on resale for this community had to do with making sure that everybody was in compliance, and it went hand in hand with the issues of people. We were trying to help people who had water hog appliances and fixtures to get theirs changed out so that we were saving actual water. And I'm concerned that what this does, it makes everybody happy on paper theoretically, but I'm not sure that water should be saved already anyway. It doesn't make it extra water, I don't think.
No, I agree. I guess the other part of it, though, is that in having other people look at this, and the fact that, I mean, if we were going to be challenged at all, you would have thought that in a review with the Coastal Commission, that would have been the challenge. And they were very supportive of the program apparently in the review that Ray and Melissa took to the office and sat down across the table from them and reviewed.
Director Howell.
A couple of things. One thing that Director Rice said that caught my attention, and I do need to bring this out because I think it speaks exactly to her point. And I have to tell you before I begin, I am somewhat doubtful about this for a number of reasons, which I will go into later. But just to give a little bit of more to what Director Rice said, in the 4.16.010 on the first page, that's 190 of your packet, the last sentence of the paragraph says, and I read it, the purpose and intent of this chapter, et cetera, is to facilitate the policies of the board of directors to issue intent to serve letters on an interim basis while the district continues to pursue a long-term supplemental water supply project based upon the implementation of the district's approved water use efficiency plan through demand water demand offset. So the intent of this code is quite clear. It is to allow additional building, additional intent to serve. That is not on resale. It's nothing of the sort. It means building a new, it means a new connection. And that was the intent of this section. Okay, just wanted to remind everybody that that's how this thing came about, apparently. I'd like to hear what others have to say, but I do tend to fall into Director Rice's what she says does make some sense to me. What concerns me is a couple of things. First of all, it is the case that the Coastal Commission and some of the issues presently or recently before them have objected to the use of retrofit points as a way of indicating that water was saved. And I point you specifically to the People's Self-Help project, which, where retrofit points, the whole thing was, that thing was going to actually save water, and the Coastal Commission wasn't buying it. So whatever we might say, that we have to say they may or may not have approved of this change, but it doesn't change the fact, and where I'm having the main, I don't have a problem with retrofits per se. It's quite reasonable, and it's something that we do need to be doing because we're a very constrained community. But where I am having real problems, and that's not what we're talking about today, so I just mentioned this just in passing, is I do have a little problem with the points and the point bank. So, but we're not discussing that now, and I don't want to because I don't even understand it, so I can't make an intelligent comment about it. However, the parts that I do see here, which would cause me to vote against this in its present form, is that I'm not particularly comfortable with the third-party inspections. And what I seemed to be lacking in this, although maybe I haven't read it carefully enough, or perhaps I missed something, I didn't see anything about certification of the inspectors, so maybe that's wording that I missed. In addition, I didn't see anything about what we do in the case that we, in the spot checking, we find that there's been some serious, shall we say, lying to us about the retrofits. The damage has already been done at that point. You know, the fixtures are in, the house is built. The damage, can you hear me? Yeah. The damage has been done. So, so what if we find an owner or an inspector who has perhaps lied? That's not going to help us because there's no provision that I could see in this particular code for any kind of enforcement other than that we will not allow an escrow to close under the old wording, and that's been abandoned. So we're abandoning any, I'm not seeing any provision for enforcement there. That's one thing. Second thing, having bought and sold a number of houses, the idea that home inspectors can in any way be trusted with this is completely false. Any of the inspectors I've used in any of the transactions that I've had, they will not look anywhere that is covered up. They do not crawl under the house. Their object is to, here's the deal, the realtor wants to sell the house. And so the realtor, in the case where the inspector has been recommended by the realtor, there is a certain, I'm not going to say that it's dishonest, but there is definitely a bias towards letting that go forward. And I've undergone a number of home inspections. Every single one of them has proved inadequate. And I'm not the only one. I've been in real estate. I've been a number of years in real estate, and I have been a real estate broker. I know how these things work. And of course the realtors are happy about this because it means they can close the escrow a hell of a lot, pardon my language. They can close the escrow a great deal faster than if they have to wait for us to do an inspection. And I don't see any reason why, you know, as long as we have control over if an escrow closes, and if then I think we have some enforcement. If we give that up, we don't have anything left. So I could be argued otherwise, but at this point in the state that it is currently in, I would rather see this come back to us another time and where we can give it a little more thought. This is an important issue, and the changes that were there were relatively minor, and I don't really, as I said, my problem with the change is that I agree, I do not think it should be handed off. So forget the point issue, I just wanted to mention that I'm not friendly to that. But the inspections, the importance of the inspections are good. If there's a staffing issue, I think Director Rice pointed it out very well. If the issue is staffing, then we can address that. In terms of the actual money, if we're not charging enough to pay for our staff to go out and do these inspections, maybe we need to raise the fees. And I could go on and on. So, but I think I've made my point here. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Director Howell. Mr. D'Enzo, you wish to make a comment.
Oh yeah. So if I guess if the point of contention is the third party inspector, I would hope though that we would continue with the process of the data collecting, because that was really the point that was really important to Coastal All Around, was the fact that we're able to prove water savings through better data and better data tracking, and this process will allow us to do that. I'm hoping that we can still continue with that process without, you know, if the issue is the third party inspector, then, you know, perhaps that could be changed. Because I think like the third party will also give us flexibility, you know, even if we have staff be the ones that do the that will do the bulk of the inspections, third party will still give us some flexibility. But I'm hoping though that if a small change can be made, maybe that could be where the change can be made. I don't know if a wholesale change needs to be done, because the process we believe is good and the form is good, and it's been, you know, vetted by, you know, local realtors and also Coastal.
Yeah. Director Rice, you wish to make a further comment?
I'd just like to point out that in 2013, the board passed a water efficiency program policy that included having a person on staff for conservation and water efficiency, and that person could be trained to go out and do these things. And I also think that we maybe need to rethink relying on the retrofit on resale for new development of any kind. Because if we're going to do that, we definitely need the data, but we can't, how do we get the before data? I mean, I'm kind of at a loss as to how we could ensure my recommendation going forward, and I'll make a motion, and if there's not a second, we can go forward from there. But I would move that we appoint an ad hoc committee to take a deeper look at this and get a better understanding and bring it back to the board for a decision, so that some of the things that that are concerning to a couple of us at least can maybe be addressed.
Director Pearson.
As a couple of other directors have said, the entire section of this ordinance is confusing and probably out of date and needs a lot of updating. So I think Director Rice's suggestion is good, to have an ad hoc of a couple of us go in there and revise the entire thing. My concern with that is that part of the new guidelines on the urban water management plan is going to include conservation and demand and that kind of thing. And I'm concerned that we'll do something, rewrite it, and then we'll have to rewrite it again because we'll have to meet these new guidelines. So I think this particular part fixes a problem in that broader scheme and that broader ordinance. And I think that maybe passing this and getting that part done, especially since it's been somewhat blessed by the Coastal Commission, I think would be okay. And then we get the ad hoc committee to work on revising the entire thing and really making it a document that we can use to base our entire water conservation program on. So I'm for the ad hoc committee. I'm good with that. And Director Howell and Director Rice volunteered, I think, to do that. So.
I was hoping to make a comment. Thank you, Director Pearson. I know Don and Amanda are more than excited about doing that. I think actually they are. I have a feeling they are. But so, Amanda, you still have your hand up. If you'd like to make another comment, I was going to say something, but you go right ahead first, if you wish.
Oh, can I?
Okay. Amanda took her hand down, so Don, go right ahead and pardon the informality.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Amanda's motion needs a second, so I second her motion, which I recall is to... Amanda, would you mind repeating your motion?
To form an ad hoc committee to review the retrofit program.
Yeah, so I would like to second that motion, and then very briefly just comment to what Director Pearson said. I don't see this as an emergency in the sense that there's nothing. I mean, we are doing inspections now. There is the requirements in the code. So staff can still go forward. We're not preventing anything from going forward as far as I can see. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see anything waiting in the wings on this that we would require us to do this today, for example, where we couldn't actually... I'd like to hear a reason why we can't actually take a little more time on this and do it right.
President Farmer?
So it seems like we've had a motion and a second with regard...
President Farmer, Mr. Carmel is trying to get your attention. I don't think... you need to get closer to the speaker, Mr. Carmel.
I heard him... For some reason, I didn't think he was necessarily wanting to interject something. So my apologies, Mr. Carmel.
That's fine, President Farmer. I just wanted to note the agenda item is for introduction of an ordinance, and we're pretty far out there in forming an ad hoc to look at the entire section of the codes, which really is way outside what we have on the agenda. So certainly we can take that action, but not at this time.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
And I withdraw the motion.
Thank you.
And so the motion needs to be to table this item until...
Let's do that.
Have that on, put an ad hoc on the agenda, right?
Second.
Yes. Second that.
So are we making a motion for creating an ad hoc committee at a future agenda? Is that what we're doing here?
We're making a motion to table this item until a item can be added to the agenda to discuss an ad hoc committee to look at this particular ordinance.
I've got a quick question for Mr. D'Enzo. Could Are the ordinance changes required for you to be able to start using Form C1?
I don't think so.
Well, so I guess that's my question for Tim. I surely hope that it's not a wholesale change to scrap the entire system, because I thought this ordinance was clean up so that we could have third party inspections, but I'm hoping it doesn't mean we can't, that we can keep still doing what we're doing, but just have staff do all the inspections. I'm hoping that's correct, right?
Sure, nothing has changed.
Thank you.
Because I wouldn't have a problem with approving the form right now without the ordinance change, if that's a possible, but I don't know if it is under the agenda description, because is the form part of the ordinance change?
Yes.
So we have a motion and a second.
Wait, I have a clarification here. It looks to me like this form is pre-existing and only has one change. So it could be used without the change. As far as I see, the only thing is the inclusion of the word all in the instructions for part one. Everything else pre-exists. Is that not true? I guess it's a question for Mr. D'Enzo.
I guess I'm unclear, because I thought that we were officially going to adopt the form through this in ordinance process. That was my understanding of this.
It's just that it looks as though the form was already in use. Is that not true?
Well, there was a form in the past. This is a more complete form that actually has better data.
Is there any reason why you couldn't go ahead and use such a form? I don't know that it requires us to do anything.
Yeah, no, I wanted to be clear on that. I don't think so.
I don't think you can use it.
You can utilize the form without the board's approval.
Any form you want.
Okay, I wanted to be clear on that. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, do we have public comment on this too?
We did have.
Yeah, Karen Dean was raising her hand at some point to make a comment.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, on my screen here, I don't see Karen. So thank you so much, Haley, for bringing that up. And Ms. Dean.
She's back.
Oh, here she is. She's back.
Sorry, I got a phone call. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate this thorough discussion of this item. And I agree with so much of what Amanda Director Rice and Director Howell has said, and the points that Director Pearson has brought up. I don't have an issue with the form. I think the form is very good. And I think it's good that we do a little bit more on pre-inspection so we know for sure what has been done, what has been changed. My problem is that third party thing. I think that our staff still should do these inspections. We used to have a conservation officer, as Director Rice mentioned, back in 2013. I think it was Courtney Updegrove. And I think if we had a person like that on our staff again to be able to do these pre-inspections and post-inspections, I think that would be a worthwhile expense. I know for a fact several places that were remodeled and were inspected, and then the items changed back afterwards. And so when the property sold, the things were changed back when escrow closed. So I think it's a good idea for staff to remain involved and for this community to know that our staff is watching these things. I also have a problem with us using these retrofit points for building, but that's my problem. Anyway, that's it, thank you. And I think you guys are doing a really good job today. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ms. Dean, who is the, by the way, the vice chair of the R&I committee, just to make a point there. And hopefully, by the way, in the future, we'll have the opportunity on how the board feels about this to get back to where people that are observing can also participate in making public comment, just as Ms. Dean did. I think that would be valuable to hear the voices and see the faces. That's just my personal opinion, as opposed to just reading an email. You know, obviously everybody, you know, covered this to a great extent. I just want to make a comment, and just kind of lost in the weeds, except for what Director Howell said. And this is the main thing that I highlighted that I wanted to address. So I'm just going to read this again. I know we have a motion, but I just want to read this again with regard to this particular document, where it says, and this is on page 196, as Director Howell said, you know, and I'm going to slightly edit. It's also the purpose and intent of this chapter, which is water conservation and retrofit program. It is also the purpose and intent of this chapter to facilitate the policies of the board of directors to issue intent to serve letters on an interim basis while the district continues to pursue a long-term supplemental water project based on implementation of the district's approved water use efficiency plan through water demand offsets. You know, nobody has any quarrel with retrofits, but obviously this is kind of restating this document, as Director Howell pointed out, that this is about, this is about issuing intent to serve letters and a supplemental water supply project. I just want to make this comment that back in 2014, this was initially described as emergency water supply project. That is what is in the contract that we signed with the bank. That is also the term that then Mr. Ogren, who is our interim general manager and also involved in the CDP, he suggested that that's the term that we should use, an emergency water supply project. And the emergency water supply project, when it was first stated by the county, was for existing customers as emergency for existing customers only and not for growth. And as far as I'm concerned, in whatever way this document or this particular item is rephrased, this totally needs to be taken out, because basically water conservation is about using our water as efficiently as possible and not to provide a source of water for additional ongoing construction. And to me, that's an important issue that I see in this document. So that's how I feel. So getting back to the item that I believe we have that was proposed and seconded. Am I correct, Haley? We have something there with regard to the ad hoc committee?
It's for the ad hoc committee, right? Item to be pushed to a future agenda.
Yeah. So
would you like me to read the motion?
Yes, please.
Director Pearson moved to table this item until it can be added to a future agenda to discuss an ad hoc committee looking at the ordinance.
All right. So we have that motion and a second. So thank you, Haley, for being on top of that while so many gums were being flapped. And go right ahead and do a roll call, please.
Director Pearson? You're on mute.
Aye.
Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye.
If I might, President Farmer, I just want to say that I think that that staff can feel confident that the board directs that form is fine to use, if they can use whatever form. I didn't see any objection to using the new form to collect additional data. And I think giving that direction isn't outside the agenda, is it, Mr. Carmel?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat
giving
that?
Direction to staff that they can use that updated form outside the agenda item, if we give direction to staff that's okay?
That's okay.
Does anybody have an objection to that direction for staff? And I want to say it would have been nice. Mr. Nienzo did a really good job of summarizing in one sentence. I thought what we were doing was changing it so we could have outside inspections. If that's what the staff report had said right at the start, it might have saved a little bit of time. I just wanted to say thank you, Mr. Nienzo.
What's next?
All right, thank you. Thank you, Director Rice. So moving forward, and let me just make a comment here. It's almost 4:35. If I remember correctly, I realize, we had some difficulty in the beginning. And as a result, the meeting didn't really start until 10 minutes after 2. So with adding 3 hours there, we have 35 minutes more to go with this meeting. And we have 2 items left to consider under regular business. So I know some folks get a little upset with regard to going over the 3 hours. So I'm just making us aware of that time change, and I hope everybody's comfortable with what I just said. So let's move forward with item 6D. And General Manager Weigold, would you like to introduce this, please?
Yes, President Farmer. And also, normally the board takes a break at the 2-hour mark. Wanted to check in and see if anybody needed a break for that.
Yeah, I don't know why this home thing kind of puts it out of our head. How's everybody doing out there? Don, you okay?
I'm good.
I wouldn't mind just like a 2-minute break. I don't want to take a big break, but a couple minutes would be appreciated.
Okay. All right. Go say hello to that kitty and come right back.
2 minutes.
Two minutes. I'll be back at 4:38.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I seem to recall there was some deodorant. 2 seconds gives you 24-hour protection. Remember that?
Right. I think it was Arid, maybe.
I don't remember.
Okay, I'm going to go run around the house for a minute.
All right. Thank you, John. So if you would go ahead and introduce item 6D, please.
Sure. Mr. President, agenda item 6D is discussion and consideration regarding the CCSD records retention policy. It is recommended that the Board of Directors discuss and consider the issue of the CCSD's record retention policy and provide direction as appropriate. Much of this was prepared by Tim Carmel and David Hirsch as background for discussion. Tim, do you have any additional comment on this before?
Sure. I have a brief comment, very brief. So this item, and I don't remember how this got on the agenda. Maybe someone can tell me that later. It's to discuss the district's record retention policy, which was adopted in 2011. Records retention policies are important because because many records have to be maintained for specific periods of time under both federal and state law. Those time periods vary greatly, and the laws that regulate those periods of time are interspersed all over the place. The benefit of a good records retention schedule is that the significant costs associated with storing records can be substantially reduced if those records are not needed or are timely destroyed. Unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, the district has not been diligently complying with its record retention policy. The policy, which is attached to the staff report, although for some reason Exhibit 1 isn't, it's fairly straightforward, and it does comply with Government Code Section 60,200 at SEC, which regulates record retention schedules for special districts. The district policy identifies the categories of documents that can't be destroyed. The policy authorizes destruction of records contained in the schedules that are older than the retention period established, or if they are copied on an approved electronic device and placed in accessible files and provisions are made to preserve them. Destruction is supposed to be done annually by the board adopting a resolution finding that the destruction of those records will not adversely affect any interest of the district or the public, and maintaining a list by category of the types of records destroyed that reasonably identifies the information contained in the records in each category. And again, I don't recall bringing such a resolution to the board in a long time. Director Rice, do you remember the last time we did this? It was quite a while ago.
Yes, and we did it in 2013. We looked at the schedule of records, and I might be mistaken, but I think this is on here because of the email retention.
Right.
And I don't see email retention in this at all. So we already have the destruction policy that annually the general manager is supposed to bring for approval those documents which are to be destroyed, etc. That's already in the policy. I believe this came forward because of the email issue and email retention. And in the interest of time, I think that this actually should go to the policy committee so that they can review it along with the schedule you said that's not attached, and ensure that email is in there and that there is something in our policy regarding retaining emails, or at least some guidance for staff of which emails they should be archiving, or however that, because 2011 everybody had an email address by 2011, but we weren't really focused on that at the time. We were focused on getting a policy in place at all, from my memory. So I would just, in the interest of time, I would move that we push this to the policy committee and request they focus specifically on ensuring we have an appropriate email retention policy schedule.
All right, thank you, Director Rice. Let me just ask Director Howell, the chair of the policy committee, who no doubt has a lot on his plate, whether you feel comfortable with it or not, it may happen. But do you have any comment on this?
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it really doesn't matter whether I'm comfortable or not. Right. If the board says do it, I'll have to do it. But in this case, actually, it will make our job simpler if we can consider the email in this context. I think it would actually, as I said, it would make our job a little easier. It also might be an opportunity to look at some other things. That's a different issue. Never mind. Yes, it will make our job easier, and we will be glad to take it on if that's the wish of the board.
Well, it's interesting that we've arrived to this point briefly in this discussion here, because it was a member of the public who a few months back was quite not agitated necessarily, but very involved with the email retention policy. And that's what has initiated this. So it looks like that's basically what we'd be focusing on at the policy committee, correct?
Yes.
All right. So do we need a motion, Haley?
Public comment.
Oh.
Do we have public comment on this item anywhere? Haley?
We do have a member of the public who wishes to speak. Actually, now we have two. Yeah. The first person I'm going to bring into the meeting is Julia. Julia, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Well, hello there. Hi. I'm sorry, my camera does not on this computer. I not put in a request for.
It sounds like she's breaking up.
Yeah. I think. And I'm breaking up.
She didn't put in a request, she said.
That's what it sounded like she said, yeah.
She's got her hand.
Julia, aren't you John's sister, or am I just making that up? Another John. All right. We have another public comment?
Yes, Paul Nugent would like to speak.
Oh.
Paul, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Yeah, it's me, Paul. I just wanted to second something that Karen Dean said earlier. I think you guys are doing a great job, and I really appreciate you guys taking a look at this. And I agree that the policy committee would be a good place for this. Basically, my overall sentiment is that I think that the public, we need to give as much access to this information as reasonably possible to the public so that they feel confident in whatever decisions are being made. And that was the original concern that I had that brought this up. So thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, I'll make a motion to send this to the ad hoc committee.
I did already move that.
Oh, can I second it?
All right, Haley, everybody send my job for me. Just go ahead and call the roll call. Make a roll call, please.
Director Rice?
Yes.
Director Pearson?
Yes.
Director Howe?
Yes.
Vice President Seidel?
Yes.
President Farmer?
Yes. Moving on to item 6E, and General Manager Weigel, would you introduce this, please? Well, Ray, you're the person here, so why don't you go ahead and introduce it?
Yeah, so this item would be to approve Water Systems Consulting for our consultant to help us write the UWMP with also analysis for the SWF, you know, in view of using that information for the CDP. But again, this information is also good for the UWMP. But yeah, it's the basic item here is to approve WSC for the Urban Water Management Plan.
All right, thank you. Haley, do we have any public comment on this item?
Yes, Crosby Schwartz would like to speak, and so would Christine Heinrichs. So I'm going to bring in Crosby.
All right, thank you.
Crosby, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Okay, I should be unmuted now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Farmer and members of the board and the staff. I have no objection to approving Water Systems Consulting for this task. I wanted to point out the fact that they're going to need a substantial amount of information from the district in order to complete parts of this report, including, in particular, the water shortage contingency plan. And I'm not sure that the district has all this information ready to go. For example, we need to know what the contribution of running the advanced water treatment plant is to the water supply, running it at different capacities. For example, it'd be interesting to know if you're running it at full capacity, 400 gallons per minute for 24 hours a day, what effect does that have on the water level in the well field? Does it make the water level go up? Does it keep it about the same? Or does the water level at the well still go down? And if so, how fast does it go down? We do have some existing test data from 2015 and possibly the tracer test as well that might be used, but then again, we might still have to run the plant some more to prove that it's real contribution to the water supply. And I think it's something that goes beyond the discussion of a board meeting. So my recommendation is to forward this to the Resource and Infrastructure Subcommittee, and with their help and with the help of staff, I should say, to discuss what information is needed about the actual performance of the new facility and what we might have to do to get the information that the new contractor is going to need. Thank you.
Thank you, Crosby. And Christine, Ms. Heinrich?
Okay. Yes, thank you. Thanks for this opportunity. And thank you also for the suggestion earlier that I send my longer remarks that Haley read earlier to all board members. I actually did that. I sent them to you all on April 27th. So you may find my complete remarks in your email. My comments on this item are twofold. First, this charge should be accounted differently. The staff recommendation that the costs be divided between the water fund and the EWS SWF fund is inappropriate.
as the project is required not by the Urban Water Management Plan, but to satisfy the technical requirements of the Coastal Development Permit for the EWS-SWF. At the April 22nd Resources and Infrastructure Committee meeting, Utilities Director Ray D'Enzo explained that the data and information for the UWMP could be provided in-house by district staff. With several new employees, Mr. D'Enzo's credentials in water system management, the district is now well-staffed to research and write that report. As he said, the higher level of technical data that WSC can provide is needed not for the UWMP, but for the EWS-SWF Coastal Development Permit application. It's more appropriate to charge the entire amount to the EWS-SWF than to divide it between the water and the EWS funds. It's misleading to pretend that the Urban Water Management Plan is requiring this sum. Being accurate in how costs are ascribed will help the Finance Committee, the Board, and the public understand Cambria's financial situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrich. Director Pearson, I see you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you, President Farmer. The R&I committee did consider this at our last meeting and by a 5-0 vote approved sending this to the board for and recommending that it be approved as the staff has recommended in their thing. I again didn't see that that was in there, but we sent it to the Finance Committee, and I believe the Finance Committee also looked at this and approved the amounts and the charges as they were. So, the R&I Committee did their due diligence and approved it, and I recommend we move forward.
All right, Director Rice, you wish to comment?
Yes, I want to agree with Ms. Heinrichs on the fact that this is the intent. When we first discussed putting together an RFP, was for the purpose of getting the information we need to bolster the CDP and the data that we need for the CDP based on discussions with the Coastal Commission. However, I do not agree with the statement that this is inappropriately resourced for mostly out of water, because Task 5.0, the CDP report, is really not very robust at all and is not really very much part of this. And the vision of this, being a member of the CDP ad hoc committee, the vision of this when it was first raised with when Paavo was here, Mr. Ogren was here, was, well, a lot of the same data that we're going to need for the Urban Water Management Plan is the same data we need for the CDP, that they're asking for the CDP. And I'd like to point out that a subcommittee of the Resources and Infrastructure Committee put together a pretty good water demand report that lists the documents and data that's missing that we need to get. I don't know the veracity of the content of the rest of it aside of that report from the subcommittee. They did very clearly identify what data was missing that we need to get. This is very disappointing to me. This puts the Urban Water Management Plan ahead of the CDP, and really what we should be doing, we're not trying, I disagree with the statement that we're trying to hide or have money go to, you know, that we're trying to obfuscate, and this is really about the CDP. It is supposed to be about the CDP, but it's clearly much more higher priority on the Urban Water Management Plan, which, as we discussed earlier, is not due for at least another year. And I don't even know when the guidebook it comes out for us to be able to do this. Mr. D'Enzo, has the This is DWR, Urban Water Management Plan. Yes.
Yes.
Have they issued their guidelines on the new section about water shortage contingency plan yet?
No, they haven't. They haven't finalized it yet. Hold on. The water shortage contingency plan, like some of those guidelines are out. It's the guidebook that you referred to. That's not.
Okay, so the guidebook's not out, but they've put. We kind of know what they're going to be expecting for the water shortage contingency plan section.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So. And I don't want to take up a lot of time, but this contract does not meet the vision that we were expecting. And for some reason, my computer just decided to act up on me. Can you all see me still? There we go. Okay. It doesn't meet the need that we have in that it completely puts the CDP support at the bottom of this. The vision was, we need all this data for both things. And since the Urban Water Management Plan update is coming up, let's have that same firm do both things, but we need to focus first on that missing data that we need for the CDP. As is the scope of work, I think the correct financial divide has been made. And I appreciate the review that went on for R&I. And again, I'm going to say what I said before. It's helpful for the board to know that that was part of how staff put together the report. And if there were dissenting voices, I'd like to hear that because it's helpful for my decision making. I'm a little concerned that the for each of the meetings that happens, which I understand are staff meetings and not public meetings, that the agenda and meeting materials are only 2 days ahead of the meeting. And if I don't know if staff feels like that's going to allow for enough time to have to be ready for those meetings. I can't support this. It doesn't meet what the current district need is, especially in the face of our potentially reduced revenue for water going forward. I know that this was a difficult contract to put together and we only got one response to the RFP, but I'm really disappointed and I'm going to have a hard time voting for it because I don't think it meets the needs of what the district needs right now. So those are my comments and I'll just listen to the rest of the discussion.
Thank you very much, Director Rice. Mr. D'Enzo.
Oh, I do. I wanted also be to clear just because the CDP portion is task four, it doesn't mean that it's going to be done. You know, that's actually going to be done earlier. Like as well as Crosby asked about. You know, we're hoping to get that started in the summer because yes, we do need to run some tests on the SWF. In order to get some of the data that we need. And that portion is going to be, you know, that's technically part of task four, but we do intend to get that done early because those are the CDP components that we need to do. I just wanted to be clear about that.
So. Okay, I know Cindy had, I'm sorry, I know Vice President Steidel had her hand up, in the staff report about the fiscal impact, I don't see anything about an impact for task five. It's tasks one through three and task four.
All right, that's because task five is going to be done in-house. Mr. D'Enzo decided that they could do that themselves in-house and save us the money.
I see. So the additional technical analysis for the CDP will rely on the data that's being collected by these professional consultants to put that analysis together.
Correct.
Thank you. That was never clearly explained in the staff report or the scope of work.
I don't know if this is appropriate to just mention at this time. Seema Steffel has a hand up. I think we're going to be discussing to a much more complete degree the coastal development permit at our special meeting on the 28th. So I just want to interject that. Ms. Duffield.
Sure. I just wanted to point out that the two items that Director Rice was inquiring about are in the staff report. If you look at the first paragraph in the fiscal impact, in the second sentence, it does talk about task number 5 and it not being awarded at this time, and that that effort would be completed internally by staff. Okay. And then if you go down to the very bottom of the page, under where it talks about the SWF capital fund portion, the very last sentence does say that staff received recommendations from both resources and infrastructure and finance committees to approve the UWMP consultant tasks 1-4 and associated budget adjustments as outlined above. So we did add both of those, both of that criteria into the staff report so that the board was aware of the actions we had taken previously.
Thank you. Maybe it needs to be in a separate section or not the last second to last page of the agenda pack.
Yeah, so maybe it's like more appropriate that we just put that front and center in the recommendation, like maybe a standard, you know, we'll come up with a standard blurb and put that more in its own paragraph at the bottom of the recommendation or something, so that it's like the first, one of the first things that you see.
So it stands out more. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll work at that.
President Steidel, I'm sorry to take you.
All right. You know, we're sneaking up. We've got about, with the 2-minute break that we took, we have 10 minutes left. So I would imagine we can finish this in 10 minutes and not have to add more time on.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and make a motion.
I'm going to suggest that. Thank you, Director Pearson.
The mission to approve the consulting services and the water systems consulting for the preparation of the urban water management plan.
All right. Well, you were kind of breaking up there, David, but I think we know what you were reading, so thank you very much. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Director Rice. Could we have a roll call, please, again, Haley?
Wait a minute. Wait.
Oh, excuse me. Director Howell.
Yeah, normally when there's a motion on the floor, you need to call for further comment before you call for a vote. I have some questions, and I have an observation which may add some complexity to the problem. First, the questions, or just an observation. I notice in the contract there's an awful lot of stuff that's being assumed to be provided by the district. I see at least three different instances. So my question to staff here is, I'm assuming that you have reviewed this and you see where those assumptions are. And am I correct that you believe that what they're asking for, and in particular, I'm talking about 2.2 subparagraph 3 and subparagraph 4 and subparagraph 5A. Do you have the necessary staff and information to provide what water systems consulting is assuming that we will provide? That's, I think, is a very important question, so I'd like to hear an answer to that. And then the other thing that I noticed, or actually, and there are all additional assumptions in that same section, paragraph 6, subparagraph B and C, a lot of assuming going on. The other thing, which is that there's reference to, I'll actually read this one. It is assumed any future water efficiency savings will be developed by the district's conservation consultant. I am not aware that we have a conservation consultant. So what on earth is this doing in the contract? Or is this, that is the staff's intent to ask the board to increase our headcount and have a conservation consultant? I'd like to know why this is appearing now. In addition, okay, that's sufficient questions. Now I want to throw in the complications if I can, and then I'll just, because we need to move forward here. I was silently attending I've attended both the R&I and the recent Finance Committee and R&I meetings. I was very pleased with Mr. D'Enzo's presentation to R&I regarding this. I thought it was very clear, laid things out very nicely. So kudos on that. And it really helped me to listen to that. So I'm not having a problem with that. But the complication is this, and it came out in the R&I meeting and in the finance committee meeting, and in view of the fact that we are looking at a potential $100,000 to, or $200,000 shortfall in our income, depending upon what the board decides to do regarding the rate increase, which is in the wings. And in that discussion, it was raised that Mr. D'Anzo brought forth the important thing is that the testing of the AWTP must be done this year if we are to get that CDP in any timely way, and that that is going to cost quite a bit. It is also my observation that there's approximately $75,000 proposed in this contract to pay for the UWMP, which we don't necessarily need exactly at this point. So I'm kind of wondering about this. And in addition to the statement which Mr. D'Anzo made today, which was to the effect that a consultant is not needed for the UWMP except for the CDP requirement. So if all of the above is true, mightn't it be a better choice in view of the fact that we are having this financial issue that maybe we should step back and reconsider this a little bit, possibly going forward with task 4 and 5, but not necessarily, and if the contractor is willing, not engaging for tasks 1 through 3 until we get through the next fiscal year. In other words, I'm not seeing necessarily that the rush forward except for the testing of the AWTP. Okay, now I've said what I needed to say. I just thought I'd throw that out and kind of complicate the issue a little bit.
All right. Well, there's a possibility we might have further discussion on Director Howell's comments. So I'm sorry to do this. But if we could, someone wish to make a motion to continue this meeting until 5:25, that would be much appreciated. Would anyone wish to do that, please?
I would so move.
Thank you. Second?
All right. I'll second since I'm responsible for the delay.
All right, I wouldn't say it's responsible.
Can
we just move on, Haley, or do we need to actually have a roll call on this?
We should do a roll call. Do it real quick.
All righty.
Director Rice.
Yes.
Director Howell.
Yes.
Director Pearson.
No.
Vice President Seidel.
No.
President Farmer.
Yes. So
he cannot continue because you have to have a 4/5 vote.
So this will have to be.
And we have to end in 2 minutes. I suggest that we either move this to next week, or if there isn't a second to the motion I'm about to make, I move with the clarifications. I am much more comfortable with this contract. I move that we approve this contract for services for
motion,
water. Here's for you, Amanda.
Yeah, we've already got the motion on the table. We're just waiting to vote.
We are?
Yeah.
Oops.
Never mind. this is why 3 hours is right.
No, I just want to ask Director Howell with his, I guess we'll find out in your vote with regard to the limitations you have on this document, correct?
That is correct.
So, Haley, if you would take a vote, please.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Howell?
No disrespect or anything to staff. They've done an excellent job. I'm just not real happy with this, and I think it deserves more discussion. So I do vote no on this.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
And President Farmer?
Well, I'm just going to concur with Mr. Howell because, I trust his observations and his wisdom, and I'll vote no, but obviously it's going to pass. But I just want to make that, and I'll just make that observation. So it seems like we've snuck in under the wire here. We have 2 minutes. Anyone wish to make any future agenda item comments? I have one, but Director Rice, why don't you go first?
The Chumash National Marine Sanctuary is up for a reconsideration every 5 years, and the deadline for comment is June 15th. I would request that we have a letter on the agenda next week, which I'm willing to draft for the board to review and approve to send in by the June 15th deadline.
All right. Thank you, Director Rice, for taking on that.
And let me be clear, support for extending the consideration for Shunmash National Marine Sanctuary, a letter of support, to be clear.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the folks that were here thousands of years before us certainly need to be acknowledged. There's no doubt about that. So with regard to a future agenda item that has been kind of brewing in the background, I guess we should say, we probably need to put on the agenda at some point in the near future a discussion of the Brown Act and its, how could we say it, how it affects standing committees. That definitely needs to be on a future agenda item. So,
does anybody have any objection to me drafting a letter like that for the board to consider at next week's meeting?
Oh, please.
The only thing that I request is I'm going to be staying to post next week's agenda. So is there any way we could get this on the June 11th agenda?
Or yes, deadline is the 15th.
Okay,
yes.
So June 11th is okay. Perfect.
Thank you for that observation, Haley. So seeing no further comments, I'm just going to make two brief ones. First off, just a reminder of what Mr. Niffen mentioned in the beginning, the spaghetti fundraiser next Wednesday from 4 until 7 and at the Vets Hall. And it's free, but donations are accepted just to assist folks that are not doing as well as some of the rest of us. So with that thought in mind, I just want to say to take care, be safe, be thoughtful, be caring of others, count our blessings and be grateful we live in Cambria. And except for those of you that live in Atascadero and Morro Bay, you still need to be grateful as well. So I'm going to end this meeting. I hope everybody's okay with that. Thanks for everybody participating. We did a good job, all things considered. Thank you.